Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from Persepolis, the city which Alexander the Great conquered and then proceeded to raid Cyrus's tomb, it's the Rebecca Roth Show.
Hey.
I'm Ramjet. My job is to make Rebecca Roth look good. And so I will introduce her as follows. Rebecca Roth, who is without body parts or passion, who sits atop her research chair, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. Miss Rebecca Roth.
Wow. That's why I almost need to have Betty Davis come in here and tell him to buckle up, because that was an introduction. I'm not even sure how to react.
Where is
to
Betty Davis?
Betty, where are you?
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night. Fasten your seat.
You like that, huh? Okay, well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. And yes, I am everywhere all at once. Here I am. I am pulling myself out of, again, the other novel, book three. And it's really hard to do that. It's hard to, you know, just pull yourself out and put yourself in a whole nother environment. But here I am. So I'm shaking my head and clearing my head.
Well, keep researching and keep writing.
I know. I told you a little secret of what I had stumbled upon. You know, you're never going to believe this, Ramjet. So how is things over there in Persepolis?
Hey, it's hot.
Hot. Yeah. That's
but
cool.
I'm on my way to Isfahan and everything will be fine.
Oh, yeah. Favorite city. Well, that's fun. Hey, listen, I just heard that you, Ramjet, I know, I just took the duct tape off, right? Somebody did. Somebody ripped it off you because you got to do my introduction. I guess you're the hot new 9/11 conspiracy. So take a bow. You have arrived at some level of celebrityhood because you got the 9/11 troopers trying to figure out who you are, where you live, what you're doing, what you've been doing, what was your career, do you have a career, are you retired, are you rich, are you poor, what is going on with Ramjet, and do you really work for M&M's and Skittles?
No, but I have a certain allotted amount of words that I'm able to say on each show, and if I go over that, then indeed I don't get any skills.
Well, it's pretty hard to become a conspiracy when you really don't have a lot going on saying.
Well, right, I hope that what I'm about to say doesn't cause any of these guys sleepless nights.
Well, hey, I had a head cold in December that caused some sleepless nights. They did videos about me, some spinning conspiracies.
but here's the deal. I drive a Ram 1500 truck.
Hey.
Kind of appropriate, don't you think?
Yeah.
And the other day, I was out looking at new cars.
Jet skis too, right?
And I was thinking, you know, I kind of like this Dodge Charger. So if I buy the Charger and keep the truck, might I change my name to Ram Charger?
That's possible. My question for you is, do you watch the NFL and are you a Rams or a Jets fan?
Ooh, now there is a question.
Okay, let's spin the conspiracy. Spin it.
Ramjet.
Yeah. Which is he? Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, you know what? It's really, really sad, and I have to just laugh about it. But these conspiracy nuts, I have to tell you, now these are people who consider themselves 9/11 researchers. They're really offended because maybe I have the terabyte of Freedom of Information Act they weren't interested in. I found stuff and I'm waking people up by writing these books as novels, which they really hate too, but they've never read them. But it's really, really sad to me. And on behalf of the flight crews that lost their lives that day, it's extremely sad. If I take myself there, because it could have been me, I'm crewing one of those aircraft, because that's what I was doing the day before. So, and I actually just talked to someone else who's husband was a captain, I believe, on the Flight 11 the day before. Remember, we talked about this being a daily operation. And he, of course, was just waiting for that inbound aircraft into Los Angeles. And he was going to turn it around and fly it back as Flight 12 because it was a daily operation. And it really did operate. And the conspiracy nuts, what they do is they make us all look bad. Now, I never knew the internet. I didn't play on the internet. I was busy being a mom and a flight attendant and, you know, those busy things. I never really knew about these internet trolls. I'm just actually still pretty blown away. I did, when I discovered the hijackers were still alive, I just took my professional world and dove into every bit of research that I could find on 9/11. And I did that on behalf of the crew and the passengers that were murdered that day.
Well, what's really interesting about internet trolls is they're everywhere. I mean, it's not just 9/11. It's every possible aspect on the internet. You've got a group of people who spend all of their time, and I mean all of their time, day, night. They don't work. They don't do anything but fiddle fart around on the internet, trying to keep themselves high atop the status of
whatever, you know, they built for themselves
on the pig pile. And if they spent as much time researching the subjects they claim to be interested in as they do trying to discredit or disprove or to slander or libel or whatever the people that, you know, they feel like are, you know, keeping them from their high and mighty status, they would actually be able to find something, but they don't.
They're junior high girls.
And they're everywhere. They are everywhere. I mean, we have paid attention a little bit to, you know, the stuff that's going on in Oregon. And there's a whole set of those trolls that are just absolutely, like you said, junior high girls.
Yeah, and it's really, really, it's sad. I mean, I think about this. If I had lost my life as a crew member that day, how would I feel sitting up there in heaven watching all these people slam each other and make up libel? And I didn't know this, but just so I know, some trolls listen, just a word of warning, because we're going to talk about this a little bit later too, but cyber harassment is a federal offense and the FBI is involved and is interested. And so when people do that to me now, I didn't know this until more recently. And you'll remember, and we're going to tie this in, there is a character, actually two of them, that did some nasty negative lies about me in mid or maybe around the 20th of December, Pete Santelli, and his friend Kurt Haskell. And they claimed I was somebody that I'm not, and I'm not that person. They posted her information on her adult children and their college and her home address and phone number and the likes. Well, I'm happy to report right now that Pete Santelli is never going to get out of prison, but we're going to talk about that because it all kind of ties in with the future. And what we're going to talk about the rest of this show is what happened after 9/11, some of the things that have come into place, some of the new laws and things like that. So one of the things is cyberbullying, that the FBI actually has an entire section that they're interested in. And one of the things that we've seen happen with the Oregon Bird Refuge event that happened the end of December and through the month of January into maybe almost mid-February, was that once one guy martyred himself and was killed because he ran a traffic stop and then tried to drive through or around a roadblock that was set up on his behalf and was shot and killed doing so. If you do not look at that as a murder and an ambush, and he was innocent, and he was this wonderful guy, then these guys are going to troll you and do what's called doxing. Now, I've had people try to do that to me, but they're picking the wrong people because they've convinced themselves I am at least 16 people that I'm not, and at least 15 or 16 different careers other than airline flight attendant, retired grandmother. So I know what it feels like to be targeted. And what these guys are doing is targeting government officials and sheriffs and deputies And anyone that is in the media, the Oregonian and reporters from different newspapers that are just reporting what they saw and what they saw, what laws they saw broken in the Oregon standoff. As well, there was a standoff a couple of years ago in Bunkerville, Nevada. And the same kind of thing was going on there, where we had Pete Santelli calling up the American militia, people that had guns, and asking for them to come in the tens of thousands to Clark County, Nevada, to Bunkerville, Nevada, to fight the United States government and the Bureau of Land Management. That is called sedition. Now, I saw it right away. So the trolls will go after me for doing that, because now we were saying there's trolls for everything nowadays. And just because you have a microphone, it doesn't mean you can threaten people. It doesn't mean you can call them a sociopath or something they're not, or lie about their identity or their location or expose other people. That is a federal offense. Keep that in mind, you trolls. I know you listen. Keep it in mind, because some of you, I actually have your home addresses because you got free books, okay? So when the federal government is looking into these people, they call people like myself that have been mentioned on their alternative radio show. And they want to know, why did they do this to you? And would you like to press charges? Okay, so remember, I have your home address, some of you. Most of you, actually, because most of you, what's really ironic to me is you got two free novels from me, and now you like to think I'm a fraud. Well, no, I'm an author of two, soon to be three novels, and I'm a retired flight attendant. I've never been a chemist, although I did study chemistry in college, but I didn't go into chemistry. I probably can't remember a third of it, although I do know a young person who's stepping into organic chemistry, and I thought, well, that'd be kind of fun to look at that book, see how much I can remember. But anyway, it's really interesting to see this troll thing, and I think it's, quite frankly, I think what it is, it's what happened when we were all given social media. We all have a microphone now, and so we all can be bullies, because we can all be somebody we're not. You can look on Facebook, and you can see people use different names and the like. They're not even a human name. It's not Jim somebody or whatever. It can be something in Italian or something in Latin, or, you know, who knows? But that's okay. You get to do that. But what these people are doing now, it's called doxing, and they think they can find you. I had this happen to me too from Talk Network, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. He's the biggest troll of all. And Kurt Haskell and some of the other people from Talk Network. And what they tried to do is look up my IP address. And unfortunately for them, my IP address is very well protected, because I thought when I released my books, it'd be the United States government and the Israeli Mossad looking for me. So I kind of covered my tracks really well. I was ready for that. I wasn't ready for internet trolls. I had no idea they existed. And then what else I found is a lot of people have emailed me because they run into these YouTubes. And if you run into YouTubes, I'd love for you to go ahead and report them to YouTube so they can be removed. They are making not my life, but other people's lives and their children, their adult children's life, hell. So they're sort of really are troll people, and really something should be done. What you can do is you can turn them in, and surely you can figure out one of those bullet points to collect a good strike against their YouTube channel. I think three or four of them in there, they'll get shut down. So it does incite violence toward people and hate. And I just got an email, a hateful email. I actually got six of them from the same guy. Who thinks I'm a CIA agent. So that takes me right back to book number three, because when you finish reading book number three, there'll be no doubt in your mind that I never, ever worked for the CIA or the Mossad or the KGB or anyone else. I was a flight attendant for over 31 years, period. And then now I'm a retired flight attendant turned best-selling author. I know that's a tough one, too, for him to take, because I actually was attacked by people that were throwing hate on me in words like start with a C and calling me a something, something bag and this and that and the other thing, a fraud, blah, blah, blah. Well, how can you be an author of novels and be a fraud? When it becomes a bestseller, you become a best-selling author. And that they got angry at me for charging money for my book. I couldn't believe it. I mean, what do you go to a bookstore and you just think you're going to walk out with those things? No, you pay for them. And you buy Stephen King, you pay for them. You don't pay as much for my books as you do for Stephen King's, but same thing. I mean, when people put, I think people don't understand how much work there is involved in my books in particular. I had thousands of hours of into looking into the 9/11 event. I can't even call it a terrorist attack now, what I know now. And with the stuff that's coming out in the third book, and after that, lo and behold, look out. Because I'm going to take some time off. Well deserved, because doing three novels in when they won't be like 18 months isn't easy. And you have to create these, I call them delivery systems. You have to create identities and characters and personalities like Max Haker, Vera Hansen. Now, she was pretty easy because I modeled a lot of her after me, although I wasn't married to Jeff and he didn't, my husband didn't get killed in a motorcycle accident. So, but a lot of her personality, I already knew because I knew me. A lot of what she did for work, I knew because I did it too. So, you know, there's just those things. But you have to deliver the message somehow. And what I find, and this is a challenge and it's the fun part, and the third book is really fun because it's got some really cool characters and they deliver your information to you.
So are you saying that, like President Sherman, you developed his personality based on the fact back in the day when you dated Harry Truman?
Not quite. But, you know, there are some fictitious characters, but they do deliver information that is really real. So after the third book comes out, I'm going to take a little vacay from writing, I think. I say this, but I don't know that I will, because I really want to write a third novel. But before that, I'm going to show every 9/11 troll out there, every one of you that could have got your hands on this terabyte of Freedom of Information Act data, exactly what happened in U.S. government documentation. Now, one of the things I found is two of the trolls that were after me, they had little tiny radio channel things that nobody listened to because they were so negative. They were 10 years old on 9/11. Okay. So I think I was 50. I had a 32-year career or so at that time. Actually, I'd flown about 28 years at the time of 9/11. And so when I'm looking, I'm thinking, my goodness, a 10-year-old. You know, I had lots of 10-year-olds on my planes. And I just have to laugh when people think that they watch a YouTube video or read a conspiracy that just makes no sense at all, that they're now a 9/11 expert. No, you're not. Because I tell you what, I am still to this day researching. I know Ramjet knows this because I tell him, like, oh my gosh. I mean, he'll call in and I'll say, you will not believe what I just found. And he goes, are you writing or researching? Well, I'm doing both. I've got three computers that I work on, and two of them usually sit in front of me. And I've got four or five of them that are around my house that are in some form or the other. So sometimes I might be in the kitchen and I might have the one that's on Facebook opened up, and maybe you'll see me say hi or post something out there. But yeah, it is kind of crazy, but I can't help it. I just keep going in. And what I was saying to Ramjet just the other day, and actually worked this into a conversation between my characters in the third book, when you know what you're looking for, when you know what happened, then you can start looking for things. Now, it's, let's just say, a long-range radar code. I know what I'm looking for. And then I can go in and look how many times it was mentioned in a terabyte of data, or a certain airport maybe that was used, or, you know, something like that, or, you know, a call sign for a military plane, something like that. And so I can go in and find things, and it makes a huge difference. And I have to say that I am so blessed because some people have come forward, pilots, air traffic control people that have worked in special operations for the military, air traffic controllers that worked in the military. Just really super duper helpful people that have helped me see. And now I know how to do this search for in this terabyte. So when something I read or something I stumble across, I'll go, oh, man, now I know. Now I know where to look. And it's amazing what you find. And I think that I'm sure that's what's so scary to people. And the people I'm talking about are the perps. Those people that thought the team that have come forward to help me would never, ever, ever hook up. And I'm thanking the internet for that, because if it weren't for this radio show and for me having a voice and doing things like Coast to Coast AM and John B. Wells' show, Hagman Report, and getting out there and the books getting read and people then coming forward and helping. And I mean, it's just, to me, it's been a blessing, and I feel that it's a divinely inspired forward motion that the 9/11 truth is involved in. So I try not to, I have to laugh a little bit about the trolls because it's just crazy. I mean, Ramjet, you, of all people, that you don't say any words hardly at all, but you are a conspiracy nut by the 9/11 truthers. Now, I know two of them are retired professors that are trying to figure everything out.
I wonder
out
if
about
I can
you.
Get a plaque for this. You know, something I could put on my desk.
You might.
Ramjet conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Number 972.
Well, you know, by now, I just found this and it was a couple months back. So, and it was in someone's blog. I just discovered it just the other day when I'm still kind of laughing about it. I'm thinking, wow, why would you not? Hey, how about you go find that terabyte? How about look at 9/11? Why would you look at Ramjet of all people? I mean, let's just say Ramjet is a fighter pilot, retired. Does it change anything about my novels? And you know, it's really weird. People, you know, send me emails a lot. I get a lot of fan email from all around the world, including Israel, all around the world. And, you know, they see these crazy people and their nonsense. And a lot of them have seen, you know, them do these videos that I'm four or five different entities, different humans, different people in different lines of work. And I don't know what they're doing. I honestly don't. But they aren't doing what they should be doing. They aren't honoring the passengers, the crew members, the people in the towers, the people in the Middle East. They aren't honoring them by doing the research on 9/11.
So and your center really is everywhere and your circumference is nowhere.
It is. And so one of the things we're going to talk about on our show today, besides that craziness, I mean, that's just so nuts. You just have no idea how nuts this is. I mean, when I had a cold in December, one of these lunatics cooked up some kind of crazy story that I don't know. I was afraid. I was hiding. I was whatever. And then I don't know what they did when I got pneumonia, but because there was no denying I was sick, because you guys all heard it. I know I got lots of thank yous or lots of get well cards. It's like, please don't let anything happen. One of the things we want to talk about is our future. And that's kind of where we're going to go in and talk about what 9/11 did. And people ask me sometimes, why would you write about something so long ago? And because to me, 9/11 formed our future. And if you look back to flying in July of 2001 and remember what you had to go through or didn't have to go through and compare it to what you have to go through now, and not just that, but now we have things like the Patriot Act, which they put out right away. And, you know, they do this under the name of national security and keep everybody safe. And then after that came that NDAA. Now, with either one of those, now we're going to revert back to these guys in Bunkerville, Nevada, with the farmers against, or the rancher against the Bundy Ranch, against the BLM, and Pete Santelli. They're calling up for tens of thousands of militia to bring their arms against the government. And this guy's now sitting in prison. He's actually looking at around 100 years in prison. Now he's 50, so he's not going to make 100, but he's probably going to come out of there in 25 to 30, maybe, if he's lucky. Because unfortunately for him, I just heard an interview someone sent me in an email that he did from jail. He's in Nevada, And he said when he gets out of there, he's going to double down and triple down against the government. Well, that's going to be used against him in court. He will never get out if he keeps showing the government that he's going to continue to incite anti-government rhetoric, because what happens is he then gets tagged as a domestic terrorist. And if you're not familiar with the NDAA and the Patriot Act, you want to just do a quick Wikipedia Google search on those, and so you understand. Because when they tag you as a domestic terrorist, and you'll remember in Pete Santelli's personal story, December 18th last year, and this was right around the time he was bashing me with Kurt Haskell, claiming I was a woman named Becky Folgers in living in Texas. A poor woman. I don't know what might have happened to her and her phone lines and her adult children they exposed as well. But right around that time, December 18th, Pete had gone and picked up a gun. He got caught texting while driving and pulled over by the police in Cincinnati area somewhere. They arrested him on a gun charge because it was an illegal gun and it was not registered to him. He didn't have a concealed carry permit, I guess, or whatever. So it was not legal. They put him in jail and they don't know who or how he was released. And so the local Cincinnati newspaper, or the newspaper, I guess it is, and then their TV channel that they're partners with, did a little story about him being picked up, and nobody could figure out how he was released on this gun charge, because in Ohio, it's a pretty serious offense. Well, he ended up going to about 10 days later, eight days later, to Oregon, into Burns, Oregon, to this bird refuge where these other armed militia from the Bundy Ranch, the Bundy sons, Ammon and Ryan, were planning to take over this federal building and have a rally for this rancher. So he shows up there, and he's kind of doing the same kind of thing, telling people to bring their guns and, you know, fight the government. Again, it's against the BLM, I think, and the Fish and Wildlife, and, you know, these government agencies said they took over this wildlife refuge for about 41 days, I think it was. And, you know, it's really interesting, because when I first started to see this, I wasn't a fan of Pete Santelli. I did two interviews with him about my books. Other than that, I don't know a thing about him. And the only reason I know that him and Kurt were trashing me and claiming I was somebody I wasn't is because I got contacted by people. Okay. Like I said, remember this. It is against the federal law to dox people and to claim that they live somewhere so that lunatics with guns can go hunt them down. The Federal Bureau of Investigation. Now, a lot of people thought Pete Santelli was an informant for the FBI, and that's how he was released. But it appears at this time, and we'll know more when they all go to court, which is going to be coming up in about a year. They'll be in jail for another year, at least until they go to court. And what it looks like is they did tag him as a domestic terrorist. And under the Patriot Act or the NDAA, if you get that tag, they can watch everything you do. They can be in your telephone, your iPhone, your email, everything. And so what they have him on is a conspiracy charge, a conspiracy against the United States government. And they have proof of it. And one of the things he's tried to do is to figure out what do they have besides 3,000 hours of video that he's done and audio, and some of the other guys have put out too. Again, all of the talk against the United States government. Now, you can do all the talk you want, but you got to be prepared to pay the piper and to be held responsible. When you start doing stuff like calling up people to bring guns and fight the government, this is America. We have laws, and those guys are in jail right now because of what they did.
Well, there's a huge difference to being opposed to what the government is doing or what their policies are or how they respond to things. I mean, freedom of speech allows you to be opposed to that, and you can voice your mm-hmm. opinion. But where it crosses the line is when you begin to want to fight against them and to use whatever means possible to be able to do that and to suborn people to participate in that.
Exactly.
That is a crime, and it is very, very stupid. Now, I have a friend who is down in that southern Utah area, which essentially is that strip area where Bunkerville is. And his next door neighbor is a BLM person.
Interesting.
And he told this guy that, you know, at that Bunkerville ranch 2 years ago, they were within a gnat's eyelash of having a powder keg go off. That's how close it was to having, you know, an all-out bloodbath, which would have been put on the responsibility of the people who were suborning sedition
right.
and causing a problem. Now, fortunately, cooler heads prevailed and they managed to, you know, separate that.
Well, the feds left.
Well, they did. And that's, like I said, cooler heads prevailed. Yeah. And as a result, all of these people who were indicted for conspiracy thought, well, we got away with it.
Yes,
we won.
We won.
We're the guys. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, pat us on the back. We fought off the government and we'll do it again and again and again.
And well, so the Oregon thing was another again.
Another again.
And
so
yeah.
now they're all in jail and who knows exactly what tag has been placed on them, whether they are domestic terrorists or participants in the NDAA program. But if they aren't convicted of these crimes, they could come, the government could come back and slap the NDAA yes. on them and put them in jail for the
without
rest of their
a
lives
trial.
Without a trial.
Without
and
visitors?
It's not double jeopardy.
No, without ever having visitors a lot. I mean, it if you don't understand what the government can do with the NDAA and all they have to do is tag you. And the thing that I found really interesting on this, I mean, this is somebody who trolled me and called me and told me that if I didn't show him proof that I was a flight attendant by showing him pay stubs. Well, remember, I stopped flying in 2004. So I don't carry around paper for 12 years that are old pay stubs. It wasn't a souvenir. I didn't go to Disneyland. I worked my butt off. And I mean, I just like, what are you talking about? Well, I don't believe you were a flight attendant. And then because Fetzer had convinced him that I wasn't. And so I said, listen, I'm not giving, I don't have anything like that to give you. I mean, I just don't carry around stuff like that. I mean,
well, but here's the thing. It wouldn't have made any difference.
No.
Because they weren't interested in your flight and airline career. They were interested in denigrating you because you caused a problem for them.
Yeah, I guess Fetzer got overrun by all of my airline expertise. So he decided I was a chemist or a CIA agent or some crazy ass thing. I don't know. It's just nuts. But anyway, yeah, he called me and I said, listen, I don't even know you, Pete Santelli. I mean, I'd read all the crazy stuff. And when I did his interviews, people told me, don't go on his show. He's a shill. He's a government shill. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's just, to me, it's all about getting the truth out there and on behalf of the crew members and their passengers and all the other people that have given their lives. The truth needs to come out. And so, you know, I was a little bit leery, but so yeah, he calls me up on Skype and he tells me this. He tape records me after he really pissed me off because he was just like a gnat. Show me. I'm like, do you have pay stubs that are 14 years ago or 44 years ago? I'm hanging around your house. I mean, I'd have boxes of crap like that. And I don't. I'm not a collector. I'm not a hoarder and a collector of stuff. So I thought that was so weird because I'd done two interviews and he was just bent over backwards because my second book was dedicated to the crew of the USS Liberty. And, oh, he just thought that was the coolest thing in the whole world. Well, you know, 2 days later, he is just ripping me on his show. And so I'm like, okay, well, and then 2 weeks later, he's over there at Oregon. And so, you know, people started showing me stuff that he was doing from there. And I never really had listened to him before. And so when I started listening to him, I know I sent one of these to you, Ramjet. I said, watch this. And then, and when you got back to me, you said, it's sedition. And I said, that's what I thought. What he's doing, calling up people to bring guns and fight the government. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But here's the catcher on this, which is really interesting, is that when he got arrested in Ohio, in Cincinnati, the police told him that he was on a terror watch list. Now, this is 2 years after the Bundyville Ranch thing where he really I mean, he's got all his videos. You can go watch them. And most of them are being used against him as evidence against this guy, which is really amazing. Not just him, it's everyone else. I mean, there's videos, there's pictures, there's all of these people that were packing guns down there, and they're going to hunt them all down and ID them all, and they will probably bring in another 100 people. The federal government said there were 270. Most of them were armed. They have a pretty good idea if they have that count. I mean, you know, for me, I'm looking like, okay, that's a 767 plus. Yeah, it's a full DC-10. That's a lot of people. And so they have them pretty much ID'd. And they will be continuing to pick people up. And what another thing they're doing is going to be picking up people that are making these death threats and doxing people by taking the sheriff or the state patrol that was involved in the roadblock and that sort of thing and exposing their home address. Again, it is against federal law to do that. And you will be picked up, whether you do it to me or someone you think I am or to one of these officers in Oregon or somewhere in Bunkerville or somewhere else. And there's a lot of people out there, they think, oh, I've got social media, I'm going to put this on my Facebook account. Another thing I read when I read the 69-page indictment against Pete Santelli and the Bundys, and there's about 19 of them from so far from Bunkerville, is they use their Facebook comments. Heads up.
Well, I think I heard the other day that part of the discovery for the prosecution is about 1.4 terabytes of information, most of which is social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. those kinds of things that they're using as evidence against these people. And, and that's just an unbelievable amount of information.
Yeah. And
so
they're
vacuuming it all up.
Yeah. Oh, they are. And so
will use it against you.
Let me give you right now a word of warning. I told you in my Facebook group, bring a pen and a paper. Make sure that you watch what you put out there, whether you're trolling me or whether you're threatening someone else, because it will bite you in the ass. If you got a free book from me, I have your address. So if the feds call, guess what? I have to call my publisher and say, I know you mailed books to this person, and this person. And the federal government would like that address. And I don't have a choice. So if you're out there using my name and your blogs and your YouTubes and all of that stuff, expect a visit from the federal government or anyone else. I mean, it's against the law. Heads up. A heads up. You do have to pay attention. Now, one of the things that I see, because I foresee things, I see what Pete Santelli and some of the others did and are still doing to this very day, is they're jeopardizing everyone's freedom of speech. Now, we know that you can't holler out fire in a crowded theater, right? Everyone knows this one. You also can't call up people to bring guns and start fighting and killing government officials. And it's sedition. You can't do it. It's against the law. Well, you can do it, but you end up where Pete Santelli is and the Bundys and the rest of them. So what happens now is you've got these people that have all these videos. I mean, Pete was down there at both of these sites, 24/7 audio and videoing everyone. And that's one reason they're catching everyone that had a gun at the Bunkerville, is because Pete Santelli was filming you. Now, if you went to the bird refuge, he was filming you there too. And so we've got this alternative supposed media person who's, letting everybody that follows him, I guess, know who these people are. But the federal government was watching. And now I don't know how the jury's going to handle 3,000 hours of Pete Santelli. They could lose their mind. Now, I've only watched a couple of his shows and did 2 short interviews with him. So, but he's kind of a pretty serious narcissist. So, I mean, that's going to be tough for the jury people. But anyway, getting back to that, once the government tags you as a domestic terrorist for maybe a Facebook threat, okay, or an email threat to anyone, once they tag you as that, then they can start watching everything you do. So just heads up. I mean, just if you want to go to prison for the rest of your life, keep it up. So there you go. So what happens with 9/11, getting back to it, now we've got these laws in place that are game changers. It's not like we have all those freedoms we thought we used to have, because these things came and overrode the Constitution. They did. I mean, if they claim you're a terrorist, you don't have a constitution anymore, and they can do anything they want to you. So that's one of the things that 9/11 changed, and that's why I want to talk about your future. And then also, there's something else I want to talk about. Now I've lost my little note to myself here. I can't even remember when we did this. Maybe a year ago, 9 months ago. And I would get lost in writing, so it's hard for me. And I was sick forever. I felt like I was sick for 3 months. But we did a YouTube, and it's called Could This Be the Next False Flag? Now, I worked this into the methodical illusion. They did not, in the article that I read, actually read this in an article from, I believe it was Ynet News out of Israel. And I'm just going to roughly go over this with you, because I want you to go and watch the video. I was traveling with my husband, and I just picked up an iPad computer, little tablet thing. I didn't know how any of it worked. I was just kind of going through and reading things. And it might have been going off of Facebook or the Drudge Report or some news site. And I saw this. The Israeli Mossad or Israeli intelligence had intercepted an Al-Qaeda plan. Now, I know who Al-Qaeda was, and I know who ISIS is. And so, I mean, everybody knows that Tim Osman is Osama bin Laden. He was a CIA asset since the 1980s, 85-ish. So I caught my attention. I thought, wow, this is weird. So the article went on to say, and it was scrubbed shortly after that, and I didn't know how to bookmark on my little iPad. So I read it, and I read it out loud to my husband, so which was a good thing, because it's two of us going to remember. And it said that, marking the anniversary of Osama bin Laden's fake, they didn't say fake, but I'm saying it, is death, supposed death by SEAL Team 6, May 2nd, for a 9-day period until May 11th. And that 9/11 stuck out at me so bad. I was like, what? That 5 or 6 major cities inside the United States would be attacked using biological, chemical, and or nuclear weapons. If you didn't hear that straight, stop this video, stop the radio, and rewind it. The video that I have is called Could This Be the Next False Flag? You'll find it, scroll down on the YouTube channel. It's more in detail. Now, when I read that to my husband, I said, well, gee, we were coming into May. That didn't seem like the right time, but it could be this May. And I even said it might not be this year, but it could be some other year. Now, what I've been seeing are headlines like ISIS is coming over the southern border. And yet the federal government is doing nothing, not only nothing to close that border, but they're actually harassing Border Patrol, who are now for Donald Trump, and sheriffs like Sheriff Joe Arpaio down in Arizona, who's being overrun by illegal aliens that are criminals now.
Well, in addition to that, you're also seeing headlines about ISIS has dirty nukes.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS
chemical
has
weapons.
Nuclear
mm-hmm.
Devices.
Mm-hmm.
ISIS has chemical devices. ISIS has biological. And they're just kind of priming the pump,
yep.
Making it all out there so that, you know, when
yep.
whatever they do, whatever they do, they can come back and say, well, you were warned.
That's right.
And yet they're doing nothing.
It's actually called predictive programming. So you know who to hate when it all blows apart. But this time, when it all blows apart, between if they did it, let's just say, from May 2nd to May 9th or May 11th for 9 days, 9/11. If, you know, let's say Chicago blows, and then let's just say 2 days later, Houston goes. And now the article did not, I have to repeat that, did not list the city. So in the methodical illusion, I just made it part of the novel, but I want you to know it was a real article. And as soon as I got home to a laptop, it was scrubbed off the internet, and I've never been able to find one hide or hair. That's why I was glad I read it out loud to my husband when I did read it. But I do have one bit of information for you, that the Israeli Mossad is having a convention, a meeting of the minds, May 22nd, May 22nd, in New York City at the Marriott, Manhattan.
So if you want to go to New York as a tourist, that would be a good day to go.
But the day after might not be so safe. I wouldn't want to be the maids cleaning up their room or that hotel. But anyway, yeah, just a heads up, just because I know people are freaking out and are wondering, and I'm a bit nervous myself because we all know this. You don't even have to be into rocket science or organic chemistry to understand this. The people in charge, the elite, the cabal, the Illuminati, call them what you want. You know who they are. The ones that are hating on Donald Trump because they can't control him, because he loves this country. Their mission, if you have never read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, I would suggest you look a Wikipedia at least up in that. That those people that really are truly the ones that are behind 9/11 and all the wars, the military industrial complex, it goes back to John F. Kennedy's assassination. Those people pull this off, and we are under 100% martial law, and Obama goes nowhere, and Trump won't go anywhere either. And maybe something will happen to him, like it did to John F. Kennedy, because Kennedy wanted to stop the war, not to proceed forward in Vietnam, and he wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve, that brings me back to something else. We're talking about a potential target cities. Now, the article said 5 or 6 major cities. If you're living outside of one, just prepare yourself to not, you know, to do the best you can. But what I find interesting is that the New York Federal Reserve is moving most of their important stuff. And when they originally, and I can't even talk, when they originally announced this, they said it was in case there was a natural disaster. Okay, that story has changed. And now the Fed, Yellen, is now telling us they're moving most of the important stuff from the New York Fed because they fear a cyber attack. All right. So we've got a cyber attack, and we've got, you know, these ISIS guys. They can fly F-16s, F-14s, F-18s, F-35s, F-22s. They can fly anything that they can get their hands on. They are really pretty darn incredible. They can do anything. They've got an incredible business in oil going, selling it all through Turkey, making billions of dollars a month. And there's just nothing that the United States of America, the superpower that we are supposed to be, can do to slow them down. Well, I think I have figured out where they came from, and I'm actually thinking about writing a book about that because I found some really fascinating stuff. So let me just say this. The nuke will more than likely be a dirty nuke or a small 1 kiloton type of thing. So if you're not in a major city or near a national monument, maybe like, you know, in the book I chose Las Vegas because I just think it's an easy target because there's so many tourists and all these casinos, everything's real tight in, lots of people.
Well, the thing about Las Vegas is you can take it out and it doesn't do any major economic damage to the country.
Yeah, that's true too. And so there's a lot of, to me, there would be a lot of benefits. If you were the elite in the cabal, the planners and perpetrators of 9/11, we know who you are, would do this to somewhere else. So, you know, maybe they want to take out or cripple, you know, the oil because we've got a surplus of oil and they'd like to have that $4 or $5 a gallon. So maybe they'll take out some refineries somewhere in Houston or something like that.
Well, and they don't have to take out the whole city. I mean, it's not they're not going to do to any of these cities like a Hiroshima or a Nagasaki kind of thing. All they have to do is something that is frightening enough that people begin to panic and behave the way they want them to behave as a result of their...
If you remember where we were mentally on 9/11, we were scared to death. We didn't know who was attacking our country. We didn't know who to hate. We didn't know what was going to get hit next. And then after the towers fell and somehow these clever terrorists that couldn't fly airplanes managed to fly them better than jet fighter pilots could ever do, managed to take 2 airplanes into 2 skyscrapers and make 3 skyscrapers fall down. Amazing. Amazing. And then also they struck the most protected building in the entire world, the United States Pentagon, and managed to get an aluminum airplane to fly right through it as if it were a Tomahawk missile or a bunker buster. Because that building had just, that wing of that building had just been reinforced with steel and Kevlar, and it's brick upon layers upon layer of brick. So how did they do that? Because yeah, I mean, we know what a bird strike will do to an aluminum airplane. So if you're in my Facebook team on the in the group, you'll see there's, we have lots of pictures in there to say what a bird strike looks like to lots of different kinds of airplanes. I just posted one that was in a fighter jet.
Well, speaking of birds, if that's what happened to the Pentagon, obviously nobody was looking up the sparrow's butt with their radar when whatever it was hit the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And so, you know, we know that the technology of the radar is so incredible. As part of the restricted airspace around Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon and all of those important buildings. So there is no explanation for that from them. But so let me just tell you this, that they are totally capable of a 9-day event that will change your world forever again. Now, this one could bring martial law and there could be no election. There could be who knows? I mean, depending upon what happens, I mean, let's just say some bridges are blown up and you can't get out of, in or out of San Francisco. I'm just going to say that because I think that city has bridges in and out of almost every direction.
You take out the Golden Gate Bridge and you take out the Bay Bridge, and the only way you can get out of San Francisco is to go down the peninsula.
Yeah.
And, you know,
big crowd.
It's crowded anyway every day. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're basically would be stuck
in
San Francisco.
But, you know, just if you hear the word nuke on television, and it's in any city, you know, even if you're on the other side of the country, it's going to scare you. And remember that your mind, your brain, is washed easily when you're living in fear. And that's one reason why you see a lot of people like, I hate to say Alex Jones, but, you know, people on the alternative media, you see a lot of blogs, you know, Shit Hit the Fan blog and stuff, that they're just constantly pushing fear. Well, I say be prepared. Don't be afraid. Be aware. And when you start looking at these headlines, like we were talking about, ISIS is coming over the border. Well, then use your logic. Why is the United States government not putting our military there? If ISIS terrorists really are coming over, and we've already seen other headlines where they've got nukes and biological and chemical warfare, why aren't we doing anything? Why are we instead attacking Sheriff Joe Arpaio or the Border Patrol that are trying to do their job and keep illegals out of this country? You have to look at that with open eyes and don't go into fear. So what I just want to leave you with on this note, because I am a prepper myself, and people always ask me, well, how do you prepare for that? Well, first off, you want to be mentally prepared and be able to look and see what are they setting you up to think and believe. Now, we've seen 15 years of Fox News and Hollywood pushing the anti-Islam, anti-Muslim hate. And that's all they're doing is brainwashing you, because you cannot have a civil war and ethnic cleansing unless somebody hates someone else. That's where you're being programmed. If you don't know any Muslims, get out and meet some. Honestly, I'm serious. Don't be one of those hate spreaders. When I see those people on Facebook that are out there, I just think you have never been anywhere where I've lived in Muslim Islamic countries. I've traveled to Islamic countries. I've had hundreds and thousands of Islamic Muslim passengers on my planes. I've never feared them. I mean, it's just crazy. I just think, okay, I've been blessed because I got to travel. I mean, really, truly, go out and find a mosque and go meet some people. Go to a Middle Eastern restaurant, whatever it takes, and go find out that these people want the same thing that you and I want, a better life for our children and our grandchildren.
And you'll find that if you do that, in most cases, they are more frightened of you than you are of them. Because they know of the pressures that have been put on them and the hate that's associated with them.
They also know who owns the media, do you? Because if you don't, you need to figure it out. Because the media is owned by one group of people that are not Muslim that are spreading that hate. Hollywood? Who owns Hollywood? Go look, Google it. Just take a look in your computer. See if you can't figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, you find me on Facebook and get into my group, because we'll teach you who owns who owns the Hollywood and the media? Who's brainwashing you? But remember, if you're prepared, you're not going to go into instant fear. If you hear a dirty nuke went off in, you know, Chicago and you're in Tampa, Florida, what are you going to do? You're not going to go, oh, I'm really scared. I'm sitting in front of your TV. You are going to make your own preparations for yourself and be in control when you're prepared. Okay, so if it's a little closer to home, let's say it hits Miami, and maybe there's a southerly wind coming your way. And so maybe you're going to get some of that dirty nuke fallout. Well, there's stuff you can do for that. You want to take a bath with lots of baking soda and alkalized water. There's things that you can do. You can Google what to do and get ready. Get ready. Get yourself a safe room. Get some things to plastic and sealant that you can put over your windows and your door. And make sure you have food and a way to cook. If the federal government and the Federal Reserve is worried about a cyber attack, you ought to be prepared for that because they're just telling you what's coming. They also are telling you that ISIS is going to come in and they're not stopping them. So ISIS is really an intelligence. It's actually a rogue intelligent program. And coincidentally, some of our people created it, unfortunately. And so you have to ask yourself, well, if ISIS hates Israelis and Jews so badly, why have they never taken a four-hour drive to Israel? But they're only over there killing Muslims in Syria and Christians. In Syria, there's lots of Christians that are being killed. And Muslims and Christians in Iraq and Syria. Why? Ask yourself that and see if you can find your answer. And then, I just want to just give you this heads up, because I know we're running out of time, that if you're prepared, if you don't know how to prepare, I mean, I'm really thinking after this book to doing a quick ebook on it, just because I've got so much information on doing that. If you're interested, just let me know. It'll encourage me to do it. It'll be a fun thing to do, and it'll be very helpful for you. And it'll be ebooks. It'll be instant. I can get it up fast. And it'll be really, really instant. But you want to get yourself prepared. If you're broke, you want to buy yourself some things like rice and oatmeal and things that you can have to cook and a way to cook it. Some sort of camp stove or some sort of thing. And get yourself some candles. And if you don't want to buy fancy things, just use glass jars. Clean them out and just drop your little tea light in there and it'll light up just like a beautiful little candle. So anyway, just kind of wanted to touch on that because to me, that's part of what 9/11 has done to us, for us, and it's our future. So, and again, if you have not read the books, Methodical Illusion and Methodical Deception, I hope you do read them soon. And if you are also someone who has gotten a box of books or you're with an airline or firefighters or somebody you'd like to share some books with, I think I still have some I can give you free. If you'd like to pay the postage, that's fine. If you don't want to, I will. I just want the books to be distributed. These are the first edition, Methodical Illusion, that I have. And it's been re-edited, so I think my mistakes have been fixed. It's a collector's item, though. But if you have a library that accepts donations, let me know. And I will send you as many books as they can put in their library. If they'll put 3 in or 6 in or 12 in, let's get the people out there reading the truth. And so they can start to think, because the Methodical Illusion has woken more people up than anything I ever, ever imagined that it would. And I know that because I get thousands of emails from people. And so, that's what we need to do for the people who lost their lives and to get these wars stopped. And to stop this military-industrial complex, it is a monster, and it has taken out way too many good Americans. So I'm pretty sure that we could shift into an economy built on peace and without killing so many people as we are. It's very, really very sad if you get into it. And anyway, I just kind of wanted to touch on your possible future and go listen to our YouTube. It's about 14 minutes and it's called Could This Be the Next False Flag? And it goes into much more detail of what I read in that article and that was scrubbed. So, well, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy Persepolis over there in Esfahan when you go there, Ramji.
I'm just going to celebrate my new conspiracy theory celebrity status.
You've made it to the big time.
I mean, my head may just explode.
That's what my lawyer told me. You've made it to the big time. So, and it's pretty amazing. But that's, I guess, what happens when you become a celeb.
There
Welcome to the club.
Oh, who'd have thought? Ram Charger.
All right, Ramjet. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.